Hi, my name is Ryan Demopoulos. I'm a program manager on the Windows Developer Experience team, and today I want to give you three quick tips about how to effectively use the WinJS list view control to present lists of data in your Windows HTML app. Before we dive in, I'll take a quick moment to introduce the list view control in case you aren't familiar with it. Lists are everywhere. So much of our daily computing experience is spent interacting with websites and with apps. And almost all of these experiences involve lists of data that we can consume and interact with. And when it comes to lists in Windows apps, they aren't just everywhere. They're also pretty sophisticated, with things like special animations when you add or delete an item, with capabilities such as being able to swipe to select the different items in the list. And they even have a press down effect when you go and you press on each individual item. So there's a pretty high level of sophistication in these lists. And to help you build sophisticated lists in your app, the Windows Library for JavaScript provides a list view control. Many of the apps in the Windows Store use this control. And as you can see, the Mail app here uses it in their message pane. And even the store itself uses it in many of their different views. If you've never used the list view control, there's a great quick start tutorial for you to follow on DevCenter that will help you get familiar with it. And with that, let's jump into those three quick tips for using list view. Sometimes lists can be long, and when lists have a lot of items, they can become difficult to navigate. Touch users have to pan repeatedly to get to the items that they want, and mouse users have the same problem where they have to fiddle around with a scroll bar thumb to try and land at the right spot in the list. Windows apps have a great way to solve this problem. It's called Semantic Zoom, and I'll demonstrate it here in the store. Semantic Zoom is a user interface pattern that allows users to briefly zoom out of their list to a higher level view of that list, and then from there they can jump back into the list to the spot that they're looking for. This works for touch users by performing a pinch gesture where you pinch your fingers together. Mouse users can also do the same thing in a couple different ways. They can either click a little button down in the lower right hand corner that allows you to zoom out, and then you can click to zoom in, or you can use control mouse wheel to zoom out and in. And even keyboard users can do this just by hitting control minus and control plus. If there's a chance that your list view control will have a lot of items, you should enable a semantic zoom experience. But even if your list isn't super long, and in the case of the store, it's not super long, it's about 100 items or so, semantic zoom is still a good thing to add, since sometimes users will zoom out just to try and get a bird's eye view of the list, regardless of its size. To help you build a semantic zoom experience, the Windows Library for JavaScript provides a semantic zoom control. It can be used in a generic way to allow zooming between lots of different things, but it was designed to work especially well with list views. So adding it to your existing list view is a pretty straightforward process. Be sure to check out the quick start guide on DevCenter that describes the process, and that should get you started. Many Windows apps have a hub as the first screen you encounter when you launch the app. Hubs allow users to get a quick overview of all the content that an app offers, and they also provide a launching point to go and explore that content. Hubs are part of a very common navigational pattern that you'll see in many Windows apps. You can see one example here in the Bing Finance app. Hubs show each area as groups of content. Each group is limited to showing just a sneak peek of the topmost items that you'd see within that category. For example, in the news category, you can see the top news articles of the day. And then if I go and tap on the header of news, it'll actually take me to the news section where I can go and get many, many more news articles. And I can also go back to the hub just by hitting the back button. That'll take me back to this kind of central location where I can go and launch into other different areas of the application. This whole jump in, jump back model is really central to the concept of hubs. On a technical level, it's easy to think of a hub as a single big list of stuff. So you might think to use a list view to create that entire hub experience, especially since the list view's grid layout sort of looks like a hub. And sometimes this is fine. For example, if I switch over to the store, you can see that there's a hub in the store. And this hub was built using a single list view control. And this worked well because all of the items in the store are fundamentally list items in this hub view. But in many cases, hubs are even more than just a single homogeneous list of items. They can be an entire experience that ties together many different pieces of UI, and sometimes those individual pieces might not include list items at all. I'll switch back to the finance app to show you what I mean. In this app, you can see that there are a number of different groups. There's the indices group, the news group, and the watch list. One thing that you'll notice here is I can swipe different items in the watch list to select them, but I can't do that in the news group. And if I were to implement this as one single list view with a bunch of different groups, it would just be kind of strange in the sense that it's odd to have a single list that has items that have different types of interactivity. Some of them are selectable, some of them aren't. These are really two separate lists that have entirely separate data sources. And if we take a look at the indices group, you can see that the only thing in this group is this big chart. If you were to take that chart and try and shove it into a list view as like one big single item, that would not only be kind of strange to think about, but you'd get some strange behaviors. Like if I press down on other list view items, you can see that the item kind of shrinks down as I press it. You wouldn't want that happening on the chart if I press down there, because the whole chart would be kind of doing like that shrink effect, and that's not really what you want when you're interacting with that chart. The way you want to think about all this is, instead of starting with a list view and trying to design your hub so that it fits into that one list view control, it's actually better to go the other way. Design your hub first, and then see where the list view controls might fit into that design. In the case of the finance app, we would have put a list view here for the news group and a separate list view with selectable items as the watch list. And doing it this way will just make it a much easier time to implement your hub because you won't have to wrestle with trying to make everything fit awkwardly into one control. Lists come in all shapes and sizes. In some cases, lists are only a portion of what's showing on the screen. But in other cases, the list is the centerpiece of the experience, taking up almost all of the screen real estate. Here's a quick tip. When you use a list view to display a big list, you might want to stretch the invisible boundaries of that list to be even bigger than just the area that the list takes up. For example, we can take a look at the store. You can imagine designing this UI with a title at the top and a list view with items underneath, and I've drawn a box around that right here. But what happens when a user tries to pan this list? Unless they're careful about panning directly within this box, there's a chance that their finger won't actually touch inside the list view. They might hit somewhere up here where my mouse is pointing, and then the pan won't occur. Now, since this list is definitely the centerpiece of the experience, it would be nice if panning anywhere on the screen were to cause the list to pan. And this is how the store actually works. You can see that if I pan up in the top area, even though I'm not actually panning directly over the list, I can pan over the list, but if I pan up in this area here, it still manages to work. And this really feels right in terms of what a user would expect if they were to just kind of put their finger down on the screen and start panning around. To achieve this, you just need to add CSS margins to the list view surface, so the list view takes up the whole screen and can intercept touches anywhere. It's a simple tweak that can add nice polish to the interactivity of your list. You can read more information on how to do this on DevCenter in the article Styling the List View and Its Items. To recap what we looked at today, we first learned that lists are a common and important part of Windows apps, and when building an app in HTML, the Windows Library for JavaScript provides a list view control that's specifically built for this purpose. We also learned three quick tips when working with the control. First, to add semantic zoom to your list view. Second, to remind yourself to design your hub first and then consider where list views can be helpful after. And finally, the simple trick of stretching your list view's dimensions to make the panning experience more forgiving and polished. As a reminder, there are tutorials and documentation on the Windows Dev Center that can show you how to get started with the list view and the semantic zoom control. I hope this video and these quick tips were useful to you, and I hope you have a great time using list view in your Windows HTML apps. Thanks.